A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know, Korn, this whole show runs on GPU compute, and we wouldn't be here without Modal.
Seriously. And that's what powers all our text-to-speech. Everything you're hearing right now.
They're an AI infrastructure platform. Developers use them to run GPU workloads in the cloud with zero infrastructure headaches.
If you're building anything with AI, check them out. Modal.com. So Daniel sent us this one. He's been running experiments on how audio quality affects AI transcription, specifically how the bitrate of an audio file changes the word error rate for models like Whisper. The core question is counterintuitive. Is more data always better? Or can higher quality audio actually make the AI perform worse? And what's the practical cost of getting this wrong if you're running a podcast or a transcription service?
And by the way, today's script is being powered by DeepSeek v3.2.
A friendly neighbor. So, this matters, because if the assumption that higher bitrate equals better accuracy is wrong, a lot of people are burning bandwidth and storage for no benefit, or even for a penalty. That's a direct hit to the bottom line, for anyone processing audio at scale.
It's a fantastic piece of applied research. Daniel took the LibreSpeech test clean dataset, re-encoded it across a full spectrum of bitrates, from a very low 8 kilobits per second all the way up to 320 using different codecs. Then he ran those files through several state-of-the-art models and measured the word error rate. The curve he got wasn't what you'd naively expect.
Which is what? A straight line down? Better quality? Fewer errors?
Right. The naive assumption is monotonic improvement. But the data shows a sweet spot. For many models, the lowest error rate occurs at a moderate bit rate, not at the maximum. There's a point where adding more audio data starts to introduce noise the models weren't trained on, and accuracy slightly degrades.
So the optimal file for an AI to transcribe might be a fraction of the size of the one you'd archive for audiophile purposes. That's a pretty massive implication if it holds up.
It holds up across model architectures. He tested Whisper, Large V3, the tiny version, Distill Whisper, and Quen 2, Audio 7B. The exact optimal bitrate shifts, but the phenomenon of a curve, not a line, is consistent. The mechanism is what's fascinating. These models are trained on massive, messy datasets of web audio. They're not trained on pristine studio master recordings. So when you feed them something too clean, or rather something with high-frequency detail and artifacts they never saw in training, it confuses them.
It's like training a self-driving car, only on sunny day footage, and then being surprised it fails in the rain. The model's world is a specific, compressed version of reality.
We're only allowed one per episode, so use it wisely. The practical takeaway is immediate. If you're building an audio AI pipeline, you should probably be downsampling or re-encoding your inputs to a specific, optimal bitrate. Not just throwing the biggest WAV file you have at the model and hoping for the best.
Which is what everyone is doing right now.
Almost certainly. And they're paying for it in cloud egress fees and compute time for no accuracy gain or even an accuracy loss. Let's get into his methodology. He used a solid, standardized dataset to eliminate variables, and the codec comparison is key, MP3, AAC, and Opus.
Right. So by testing those codecs, he's really challenging the assumption that more data is always better. That's the foundational premise of most machine learning, isn't it? Just throw more compute, more parameters, more high-quality data at the problem.
It is, and for many domains it holds. But audio encoding introduces a twist. A higher bitrate file isn't just more signal, it's a different representation of the signal. It preserves high-frequency information and encoding artifacts that a lower bitrate version simply discards. The question is whether the models interpret that extra information as useful signal or as confusing noise.
And his hypothesis was that because these models are trained on internet audio, which is a grab bag of qualities, they might actually perform best on audio that resembles their training distribution, not on some idealized lossless version.
That's the core of it. It's a mismatch between the training data distribution and the inference input. If you train a model on mostly MP3s at 96 kilobits per second, feeding it a 320 kilobit per second file is like giving it an out-of-distribution sample. It hasn't learned the statistical patterns of that ultra-clean data, so its performance can degrade.
Which makes perfect sense once you say it, but I'd bet 99% of developers building with Whisper's API never think about it. They just send the audio.
They do. And the services themselves rarely document what pre-processing, if any, they apply. They might be taking your beautiful web and immediately converting it to a 96 kilobit per second MP3 before the model even sees it. You've paid to upload all that extra data for nothing.
So Daniel's experiment is basically a systematic stress test of that assumption. He's controlling for everything else. Same source audio, same speaker, same text, and just dialing the bitrate knob. See where the errors go.
He used LibreSpeech Test Clean because it's a standard, high-quality speech corpus. He took those lossless files and created encoded versions at 8, 16, 32, 64, 96, 128, 192, 256, and 320 kilobits per second. Three codecs. That's a matrix of conditions. Then he ran each file through each model and computed the word error rate against the known transcript.
And word error rate is the standard metric. It's the percentage of words the model gets wrong, counting substitutions, insertions, and deletions.
Right. So a lower WER is better. If the more data is better assumption held, the WER line would just slope downward as bit rate increases. What he found was a curve.
So what did the curve actually look like? Give me the numbers.
For Whisper Large V3, using the Opus codec, the word error rate bottomed out at around 64 kilobits per second. It was about 2.3%. At the maximum bit rate, 320, it crept up to about 2.45%. That's a measurable increase in error.
A measurable increase for 5 times the file size.
The curve is shallow, but it's there. With MP3, the effect was more pronounced. The sweet spot was around 96 kilobits per second, and the WER at 320 was noticeably worse. That tells us the codec's artifacts matter. MP3 at high bit rates introduces specific high-frequency noise that the model clearly doesn't like.
And at the very low end, I assume it falls apart.
Oh, completely. At 8 kilobits per second, the audio is basically unintelligible to a human. The WER skyrockets. The curve is a U-shape. Poor accuracy at very low bit rates, best accuracy in the middle, and then a slight but consistent degradation at the very high end. That's the revolutionary finding.
So it's not that high bit rate is bad, it's that there's a point of diminishing returns, and then negative returns for this specific task. The model's accuracy peaks and then drops.
That's the technical explanation. Higher bit rates preserve more of the original signal, which sounds good. But they also preserve subtle background noise, pre-echo, spectral band replication artifacts, details that were largely absent or different in the model's training data. The model hasn't learned to filter them out, so they act as confounding signals.
Whereas a more aggressive compression, like a 64 kilobit Opus encode, acts as a filter. It strips out that ultra-high frequency information, some of which is noise. It leaves a signal that's closer to the average internet audio. The model gorged on.
You got it. It's a form of beneficial filtering. The compression algorithm is, in a sense, normalizing the audio toward the training distribution. This is why the effect is strongest with older codecs like MP3. Their artifacts are a known quantity in web audio. A modern codec like Opus is so efficient that even at high bit rates it's cleaner, so the deviation from the training data is smaller, hence the milder curve.
Did all the models behave the same way?
They all showed the U-shaped curve, which is what gives the finding weight. But the exact optimal point shifted. The smaller models, like WhisperTiny, had their sweet spot at a lower bit rate around 32 kilobits per second. Their capacity is lower, so they benefit more from that aggressive filtering. It simplifies the problem for them.
And the audio-specific LLM, Qwen2 Audio.
Same pattern. Its curve was a bit noisier, but the dip was there. This isn't a quirk of the Whisper architecture. It seems to be a general property of models trained on web-scraped audio. They are calibrated to a certain level of messiness.
So the mechanism is this distributional mismatch. The training data is a huge set of, essentially, compressed audio files from YouTube, podcasts, phone recordings, not studio masters.
Right. And critically, the training pipeline for these models doesn't include a data augmentation step that simulates ultra-high fidelity input. They're not being shown what a 320 kilobit per second studio recording sounds like. So when they encounter it, it's unfamiliar. Their internal representation of speech is based on a lower fidelity, compressed version of the world.
It makes you wonder about other modalities. If you train an image model on WebJPEGs, would a lossless TIFF file also throw it off?
I wouldn't be surprised. There's probably a similar effect. Anywhere there's a compression standard defines the looks or sound of training data, pushing too far beyond that standard in inference could be counterproductive. The model expects a certain amount of noise, a certain quantization. Take that away, and you're in uncharted territory, which is where you see that U-shaped curve of quality.
Right. That U-shaped curve. So the practical cost of ignoring it is... what? You mentioned 5 times the file size.
Let's quantify it. A 1-hour mono podcast encoded at 320 kilobits per second MP3 is about 144 megabytes. The same audio at 64 kilobits per second Opus, which gave Whisper its best accuracy, is about 29 megabytes. That's a factor of 5. You're burning bandwidth, storage, and upload time for a file that might give you a worse transcript.
And that's just for one file. Scale that to a transcription service, processing thousands of hours daily. The egress costs alone are staggering, for potentially inferior results.
It's a massive inefficiency baked into the default behavior of almost every tool. Think about a podcaster using Riverside.fm or Descript. They record in high quality, which is good practice, but then they might export a WAV or a high bitrate MP3 to send to a transcription service. They're paying for that upload, the service is paying to store and process it, and the model might perform worse than if they'd exported a 64 kilobit Opus file.
So the immediate, actionable insight for any content creator using AI transcription is, test your pipeline. Don't assume the maximum quality's export setting is the right one for the AI.
And for developers building these pipelines, the insight is to add a controlled normalization step. Before you feed audio to Whisper or any similar model, re-encode it to a known optimal bitrate for that model. You're not degrading the signal, you're aligning it with the model's training distribution. It's a pre-processing filter that improves accuracy and cuts costs.
Does the sweet spot hold across all the models Daniel tested, or is it model-specific?
The phenomenon is consistent. All models showed that curve. But the exact optimal bitrate shifts. For the smaller, less capable models like Whisper Tiny, the sweet spot was lower, around 32 kilobits per second. They need that more aggressive filtering to simplify the problem. For the larger Whisper models and Quentu Audio, it was in the 64 to 96 kilobit range. So you can't just pick one magic number for all models. You need to benchmark your specific model.
And the codec choice matters just as much as the bitrate.
Significantly. The effect was most dramatic with MP3. That's the old warhorse, full of distinctive artifacts. The model's training data is saturated with MP3s, but apparently mostly at lower bitrates. When you feed it a high bitrate MP3, it's like showing it an unfamiliar variant of its own language. With AAC, the effect was present but milder. With Opus, the most modern and efficient codec, the curve was the shallowest. High bitrate Opus is so clean that it deviates less from the training distribution.
So the recommendation is pretty clear. If you're designing a new system, use Opus. It's more efficient, and it minimizes this accuracy penalty at high bitrates.
It's the best tool for the job. But the broader point is the training data disconnect. These models are not trained on perfect audio. They're trained on the internet. And the internet is a compressed, noisy, messy place. An AI transcription model's world is not a recording studio. It's a YouTube video playing over laptop speakers, a podcast streamed in a car, a voice memo sent through a chat app. That's its native habitat.
Which leads to a counterintuitive best practice. For the best AI transcription, you might want to make your pristine studio recording sound a bit more like a podcast stream. Add a light layer of compression, maybe some very subtle noise. You're basically doing data augmentation in reverse during inference.
That's a provocative way to put it, but yes, you're matching the test conditions to the training conditions. The goal isn't fidelity to the original sound wave, it's fidelity to the model's internal representation of speech. And that representation is built from lossy audio.
This has to change how we evaluate transcription services, right? The best service might not be the one that boasts about supporting lossless formats. It might be the one that quietly converts everything to a 96 kilobit OPUS file before processing.
100%. You should be asking, what pre-processing do you apply? Have you identified the optimal input format for your models? If they say we take any audio, that's now a potential red flag. It means they're either wasting your money or leaving accuracy on the table, or both.
So for the listener running a podcast, the takeaway is, check your software defaults. If you're using an AI tool to generate show notes or chapters, experiment with exporting at different byte rates. You might save gigs of storage and get a more accurate transcript.
And for the developer, the takeaway is, benchmark your model across a bitrate range. Don't assume. The optimal point is a hyperparameter of your pipeline, as important as the model choice itself. Daniel's charts show the exact numbers for several popular models, which is a fantastic starting point.
That's a great starting point. So, the actionable advice is straightforward, but I want to make sure we're giving people the right sequence. If I'm a podcaster listening right now, what's the first thing I should change on Monday?
Check your export settings. If you're sending files to an AI transcription service, stop exporting WAV or 320 kilobit MP3 by default. Switch to a high-quality modern codec like Opus and set the bitrate between 64 and 96 kilobits per second. That's your new baseline. Then, if you're really serious, run a quick test. Take a 5-minute sample, export it at a few different bitrates, run it through your chosen tool, and compare the transcripts. The difference might be subtle, but why pay more for potentially worse?
And for the developers in the room, the ones building these pipelines into their own apps?
You need to add a controlled normalization step. Don't just accept whatever audio the user uploads. Design your pipeline to re-encode incoming audio to a known optimal bitrate and codec for your chosen model before it hits the ASR. This isn't degrading the user's data, it's optimizing it for the task. You're cutting your bandwidth and storage costs by up to 80% while potentially improving accuracy. It's one of those rare win-wins.
That leads to the third point. When you're shopping for a transcription service, either as an API or a SaaS tool, what questions should you be asking that you probably aren't?
Ask about their pre-processing pipeline. What do you do to my audio before it goes into your model? If they say nothing, we use the file as is. That's a bad answer. The best service is likely the one that strategically converts your audio to match their model's sweet spot. They should be able to tell you what codec and bitrate they normalize to and why. If they can't, they're either wasting money or leaving accuracy on the table.
It's a complete inversion. The best service might be the one that intentionally downgrades your audio first.
Strategically filters it. Yes. The overarching principle for listeners is this. In any AI-powered audio workflow, maximum qualities might be your enemy. Your recording should be high quality, of course. But your delivery format to the AI should be tuned to the model, not to human ears. Check your software defaults in your recording tools, your editing software, and your publishing platforms. You might be burning money for no benefit or even a penalty.
It feels like we've uncovered a hidden tax on doing things the obvious way. A tax paid in bandwidth, storage, and transcription errors.
And the receipt is Daniel's U-shaped curve. The good news is the fix is simple, cheap, and backward compatible. A 64 kilobit Opus file sounds fantastic to a human listener, too. You're not sacrificing anything for your audience. You're just stopping the waste.
Right, you stop the waste. But that straightforward fix raises a bigger question. If models are currently optimized for compressed, messy audio, is that a permanent state? If the next generation of models is trained on pristine, high bitrate studio recordings, does this whole curve flip? Do we start wanting to feed them lossless files?
That's the open question. I suspect the noise issue might persist in some form. Even with perfect training data, there's a signal processing reality. Very high fidelity audio captures room tone, mouth sounds, subtle microphone hiss, details that aren't speech. A model would have to learn to ignore those perfectly, which is a harder task than having them filtered out by a codec first. so the sweet spot might move, but I doubt it disappears. The ideal model, though, would be robust. Its accuracy curve would be flat. It would perform just as well on an 8 kilobit per second telephone call as on a 320 kilobit per second studio master. That's the benchmark we should be demanding, robustness to input quality.
Which makes this more than just a podcasting tip. It highlights a critical gap in how we evaluate these models. We test them on clean benchmarks like LibriSpeech, but we don't systematically test them across the full quality spectrum they'll encounter in the wild. Robustness to qualities needs to be a standard metric.
It absolutely should. Because the real world isn't a clean room, its variable bitrate streams, packet loss, background cafe noise, and cheap laptop microphones. A model that only excels on perfect audio is a lab experiment, not a tool. Daniel's experiment gives us a methodology for measuring that robustness. You plot the word error rate across the bitrate axis. The flatter the line, the better the model.
So for anyone who wants to dive into the granular details, and I mean the actual charts, the interactive plots where you can see each codec and model, you need to go read Daniel's full blog post.
It's on the Hugging Face blog. All the interactive charts are there. You can see the exact WER for Whisper Large, V3, at 128 kilobits per second, AAC versus 64 kilobits per second Opus. It's the kind of hands-on, practical research that changes how you build things. We'll link it in the show notes.
And with that, we have to wrap up. A huge thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping this whole operation running. And thanks to Modal, the serverless GPU platform that powers our pipeline. If you're building anything with audio AI, their infrastructure is worth a look.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you got one useful insight from this, consider leaving us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find the show.
Until next time, this episode was produced using DeepSeek V3.2. Text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where our thoughts go from slow takes to facts on cue. We change and follow through My Weird Prompts. From sloth.